All right, welcome back. There is a lot going on. You're not hearing much about COVID in the news, the so-called news. It isn't news at all. It's programming. That's why they call it programming. But it's happening. It's happening big now. There are so many people who are vax injured, and none of them, virtually none of them, are getting better. We're going to spend a little time talking about that tonight and hearing from some people who are really extraordinarily adept and dedicated to telling the truth. And we like that. So we're going to play you some clips here in a few minutes. Hello there, young lady. How are you doing?
Hello. I am doing well. How
doing
are you?
Doing as well as can be expected. We both are.
We're surviving.
It ain't easy out there. Not for a lot of you listening. And many of you listening from foreign countries all around the world, you're faced with the same kinds of things. Trouble, problems. Boy, they shot up billions of people. And those billions of people, many of them are very sick now. We're hearing about this a lot. At any rate, it's always good to have you on with us. If you want to submit any information, just send it to me. We'd like to hear from you in your countries, what's going on. The death rates are being obviously sequestered and hidden in most cases. They don't want to talk about it for obvious reasons. They've turned loose the final act for many people. This is going to take them out. We have a doctor kind of new to this program. I've got all four of her clips up on the right side of the top of the homepage. Dr. Maravich Villa. She's a Filipino or Filipina. And she's very good. She speaks right to the point, doesn't mince words at all. And again, we like that. And you like that, too. We hear about you, and we know what you like. So where did she come from? Do you know much about her background? She's in Florida. I know that. She's got her own clinic, so to speak. I don't know how many patients, but what do you know about her?
Well, she came to me through this World Council for Health, and she was interviewed. She was part of a panel, and I think she's been around. You can just type her name on Google. That's probably your best chance of finding it. Not Google, Rumble. Sorry, Rumble. And she's done several interviews over the past couple of years, and now she's really distinguished herself by just giving the truth straight up. And she's a practicing physician. She has a clinic in Florida that, being Florida, caters largely to retirees. And I think she said 94% of her patient population have taken at least one shot. Some have taken many.
That's higher than the national average as far as we know. It's in the low 80s. That's our best guess. Now, she works in a big area that's actually an extraordinary development. It's called the Villages in Florida. And it's literally community after community after community. I don't know how many there are, dozens maybe. It's over like a 50-square-mile area, something huge. Mm. So that's where she's at. Her primary constituents, her customers, her clients, her patients are older, retired Americans. I'd say it's 60, 65-ish on average, maybe more. But she's seeing the geriatric side of this terrible massacre that's going on. All right, we're going to play some clips with her in case you haven't heard her. And if you have, it's good to hear her a second time. She makes no bones about it, as we did years ago. It's a bioweapon. It's not a vaccine. It was created to do one thing, kill people, bring their lives to an earlier than reasonable ending. And people are on that short run all over the place now. It's getting worse. Here's Dr. Maravich Villa. Maybe it's Villa, but she's not Latina, so we think it's Villa. So we'll go with that for now. Here's Dr. Maravich Villa. Just a real shorty, just a little over a minute, talking about the fact that it is not a vaccine. It is a bioweapon.
This vaccine, which I would like to reiterate, Dr. Andrew here said, it is not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. It's a highly modified gene therapy, and it's a bioweapon. And Yeah, it's a bioweapon.
See, that's the sound of people waking up, and we like that sound a lot.
Okay. So, this people, if there is something that you have to take home right now, after this talk, this gene therapy, first and foremost, it destroys your immune system. It destroys your immune system. The target is the immune system. You know, it's like it's attacking you. The immune system, if you look at it, it's supposed to protect you from cancer, protect you from infection. It repairs your body. It's supposed to protect you, but it is attacking you. The first thing, there are two types of immune disorder that I see most commonly. Number one is the autoimmune. I'm going to tell you now there is going to be explosion, or it's already exploding as we speak.
The tsunami is welling up, no doubt about it. I wish they wouldn't call it gene therapy. They really should call it gene destruction. That's what it is. It's revising the genetics in a very devastating way. Not good. That's your cue.
Oh, was that the end of her speech?
Cue the pretty girl in the back of the building there. It's your turn. Give her the microphone.
Well, she's one of the few physicians who's not afraid to call it what it is.
No, I couldn't agree.
And I don't know. I mean, we're 4 years into this now. How much longer before it becomes,
right.
I don't know, just blatantly obvious?
Well, honestly, if it isn't blatantly obvious
now,
it probably never will be.
Right. I mean, I saw in one of the support groups, vaccine injury support groups, this past week, somebody who's vax injured wondering whether they should get a booster.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's called mass mind control, and they've got a lot of minds in their control.
Yeah, it's really just hard to reconcile. I don't, you know, there's no accounting for it.
Let me remind you all, I've just put up a new video at the top of the homepage. Go take a look at that when you get a chance. It will lock in your mind the fact that the control of the masses is unbelievably complete. Just watch it. I'm not going to say any more than that. And you'll be surprised. I've run videos similar to this before, but it's outrageous what they're doing. And it's not hard. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's very simple. You haven't looked at it yet. You'll like it. You'll get it real quick. It's quite simple. Okay, here's another little tidbit from Dr. Maravich. We'll just call her that for fun. And let's see if I can get this to play without 24 commercials. Not yet. All right. Let me ask you while I'm waiting for this to clear.
Why the U.S. Safety Commission wants to ban this baseball bat shape.
How are the groups in general? What's going on? Any trends through the holidays? Anything different? Pick a group, any group. CJD, that's one of my big concerns. Maybe my biggest.
Yeah, that continues to gain members. Maybe not quite as fast as the other ones, ALS and Parkinson's and some of those, but and still some, I think, reluctance to pin these conditions on the vax. And to be honest, there are people in these groups that did not take the vax but did have COVID, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and developed these conditions, you know, in weeks to months after having had the infection. So they're both bioweapons. I just caution people not to be casual about getting infected with this virus. And you know, every time you get infected, you lose a little bit of your immune system, maybe a lot. And this latest Omicron variant, of which there's multiple subvariants, seems to have a high affinity for the nervous system.
Oh, it's running loose now. It's very infective. Be careful. Wear a mask. I just got a note from some friends. I'd wished them a Merry Christmas. Hope their family was together and they had a wonderful time. And the husband wrote back and he said, everyone was sick. We had to isolate for the entire Christmas holiday. The whole family was sick. So they, and I,
well, you know, guess, the other thing that's going around right now is RSV, and people who have had it say that, you know, it really does knock you for a loop.
I've heard that too. All right, here's Dr. Merovic Villa again, talking about treating the injured, which is what she's done now for four years, coming up on 4 years.
The beast, you know, that will increase that.
And do you feel that? Do you feel that? You know, I'd love to hear what you're doing to attack the spike protein as well as the inflammation. But do you feel by doing the things to digest, to sequester, to block the spike protein, to block the, do you feel that in that alone you're getting a recovery of the immune system by eliminating the trigger, or do they need the antibodies? Because I tell you, Canadians and Cubans are going to have trouble getting that.
He's talking about recovery of your ruined, if not utterly destroyed, immune system. Recovery. All right, let's see what she says.
So let me clarify, too. When he says, yeah, you know, when you give them the antibodies, he's referring to this treatment called IVIG, which stands for intravenous immune globulin therapy. And so these people that have this just confused immune system, let's say that they have autoantibodies, their own body is attacking various organs and tissues, they seem to benefit from infusions of other people's antibodies. So that's what this IVIG is. And so it's actually pooled from
at least
1,000 different donors. And they need these infusions every 2 weeks. And
that's
if you're lucky enough, if your insurance will pay for it, because a lot of times, you know, they won't. The insurance companies are notorious for denying treatments of all different types. And so in order for it to be effective, you really do need to have it every 2 weeks, because the antibodies just don't last.
And the cost?
Between $3,000 and $5,000 per infusion.
Yeah.
So we're talking substantial amount
six
of money.
Six to ten grand a month? $120,000
a
year?
That's not something most people be able to pay out of pocket, particularly if they're not working.
That's right. All right, here we go.
To be optimistic.
Be realistic, too, though. We appreciate it.
Yeah. But
all right, this is important. I want to back this up just a little bit. She's talking about trying to maintain her optimism, okay? And it's, she says it's not easy. As a doctor.
Yeah, but I'm also being realistic. The trend that I am seeing, the immune system is continuing to die. It's continuing to die. I can make them comfortable just because I'm reducing the symptoms, but I cannot make it stop. It goes down and then they come back again, and when they come back, they look older and weaker. You have to doubt what I say.
I don't doubt it. I see it too.
Doubt what I say. And the reason for, I tell my patient, please do not stop. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes I cry with them. I give them hope and I want to feel hopeful. But mind you, it's so tiring, really. It's so tiring. Today, I was able to sleep until 12 noon. I was like, oh, my God, this is so good. But anyway, you don't stop. Because, you know, the only thing that I can do is mitigation. And I'm telling you, I'm giving everything from ivermectin to hydroxychloroquine to high-dose vitamin C, poly-MVA, NAD. I'm using them all depending on the symptomatology of the patient. The IV and AD, I think it's helping, but I have to give them, I have a protocol that I created, you know, to make their mitochondrial system. If you come here, I'm going to show you my setup.
I look forward to it.
I do anything and everything to to help people. The first thing in any problem, this is just me, the first thing that you have to do, even before you solve the problem, is to give them relief. Because when you give them relief, the hope doesn't go away. And hope and, you know, a little bit of happiness is good for your immune system. You know, the love, the thing, it generates sometimes. I get so tired, but, you know, you feel the love. You have to make them feel the love, you know.
If you can make people physically, speaking in terms of symptomology, feel better, go through life, go through days, nights, without the same horrible symptoms. And there are only so many symptoms really to go around, but the injected, the vaxxed are dying, and there's no way to reverse it. All she can do is make them feel better symptomologically, which is great, and that will keep people in a state of mental hope, just feeling better. They'll see something. They don't have that terrible agony of pain and suffering. A lot of this pain is a key word to many of these vax-injured people. They hurt all the time.
Yeah.
So she's a smart lady and obviously very much cares about what she's doing. She's not pulling any punches. She's not playing games. She's telling it straight. All right, let's go back.
Treating this out of love, and then there are some patients, they are ready to hear that they can die anytime because of what happened. But
did you get that? There are some of her patients that understand that they could die at any time, any moment, from having taken that shot or those injections. That's called a realist. That's a fact. And that's a very difficult row to hoe. But they are coming around.
Some patients. So you have to adjust how do you talk to them. And these are old people. They're at the end of their, I don't know, whatever part of life that is. But, you know, if it's happening to them, it's happening to young people. It's happening to anybody who got vaccinated. I truly feel that, and I truly believe that. And you just have to keep on doing whatever it is that you can do at this point to give relief to these people. But I think there is a treatment that we can do. So remember I said there are five principles? The last one, I don't know how to do, is how to stop the vaccine. Especially now, this is where it comes in. You guys discuss it extensively. There was one time about the contamination of the vaccine, right?
The DNA contamination as well as the earlier discovery of chemical contamination and metallic particles and things.
Yeah, and I think it is continuing to do that, and people keep on producing the spike protein because there is a genetic integration. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, aside from that, okay, how many people have genetic integration? We don't know. We don't have any study. We just know that some of our scientists, you know, I was able to speak with David Speaker, like 3 weeks ago. Kevin McKernan is here in the U.S., and there's another guy. There's another guy in Spain or in France, in Germany. I don't remember their names, but they have exactly the same findings, that there is DNA contamination, there is SV40, and then the other thing is there's another one who proved that the mRNA is going into the nucleus and actually reversing whatever it is that is getting reversed, and it's getting integrated into our own genome. So what does it mean? It means more cancer, more autoimmune, more spike protein. So the cells that are able to survive, they have to mutate, I think. They have to mutate to be able to continue surviving, but the person who got it will be a container of disease, because as long as there is mutation, it will produce whatever disease it is.
Okay, I think that was very clearly stated. I hope you all got it. It's a terrible thing. I remember, not when, but about when, I first found out about this DNA plasmid contamination. Well, they tried to call it contamination. They tried to call these contaminants in each injection. And for all of you out there who don't know, I'll just pose it as a question. Do you know how many pieces of functional DNA particles there are in each injection? Well, the top end of the range is 400 billion individual particles of functional DNA that is being injected into each person each time they get poked. That's crazy. And that really flipped me out. I said, well, to myself, what are these pieces of DNA going to do? The answer, nobody knows. Will they integrate with the body? There's more and more data to suggest, yes, they are integrating with the body. They're latching onto the system. What about this DNA? They tried to call it a contaminant. Oh, it's not supposed to be in there. BS. It's totally supposed to be in there. It's part of the genocide. Tell me more.
You got it. I would agree. But, you know, that gives them a cover story.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are, and continually, having been lied to viciously, terminally, fatally, horribly, satanically by these bastards. And I still hold accountable anyone who has put a needle into a child's arm with this crap, this Satan's own death in it.
Yeah.
They are responsible. I'm sorry. They can plead manslaughter if they want to go to court, and if we could charge them. But many of them know damn well what they're doing. They know these are not proven. They know they're not safe. They know they're not vaccines, and yet they're sticking these needles into little children. I'm telling you, in my view, there is no punishment too severe for those people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my view. I'm not speaking for my partner here. But
I'm very much in agreement.
Yeah. Okay, that's Dr. Merovic Villa's journey, so to speak, part of it. And you heard how she's really obviously sincerely dedicated to trying to help her people, her patients. But what do you do when there really is nothing you can do except symptomatically make them feel a little better? And that's how you generate hope in them. We don't have a reversal. The closest thing to a reversal we've ever had, if a reversal is actually the way to phrase it, and I'm not sure it is at all, the best thing we have is ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, NAC is a good one. She mentioned NAD, and you were the first person I ever heard mention NAD.
Well,
nobody
right, that's where the niacin comes in, because niacin is the precursor for NAD. Now, you can get infusions of NAD. I've heard some debate about whether or not you can truly get a molecule that's as big as NAD across a cell membrane into the cell where it's going to make a difference. But people do feel better after these infusions of NAD,
right.
But that's an expensive way to go. And you could achieve the same thing just using flush niacin. But a lot of people don't like that flush. So, but that's critical. I mean, if when your cell runs out of NAD, that's
right.
It. I mean, that is your energy, and when the NAD is gone, everything stops.
Explain. This is a little inside joke between us. Explain to our dear friends what flush niacin does and why people don't like it.
Well,
never mind. Don't say
they
turn red and start smoke coming out of their ears, and they start running around the house trying to douse themselves with water, and some have even used fire extinguishers. Don't say that.
Well, you will start to feel hot, like tingly, prickly, little tiny needles maybe, and it tends to occur. Probably, I would say, starts in the face. And then maybe works its way down. But it seems to be most intense in areas where you've had a sunburn in the past. And the theory is that, and this goes back to L. Ron Hubbard, that the body has stored inflammation and radiation in those areas because, you know, when you get a sunburn, that's radiation damage, UV radiation. And the reason they came up with that theory is that people who had been working with atomic weapons during the 50s or so, when they did the niacin sauna protocol, they would get waves of nausea when they took the niacin. And they reasoned that it was because these people still had residue of radioactive energy in them. So it's very interesting that when you take a niacin, you can often see an outline of a bathing suit when the flesh is full on. And the areas that were exposed to
that is very interesting.
Yeah.
Right, let's just cut to the chase. Flesh niacin is a masochist's wet dream.
Well, you know, I guess people have different opinions on...
Some people like pain, is what she's trying to tell us.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's painful. It's. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess if you're not prepared for it, there was a story where one woman accidentally gave this to her husband. She was mixing up, smoothie
or something. She was after the life insurance.
she thought she was reaching for the magnesium, and instead it was the niacin. So, within minutes,
that was seen of him, he was running out the front door, smoking and flames. And the fire department finally caught up with
him. The antidote to the flush is vitamin C.
What didn't work for me? All right, never mind. All right. It does work, and it's a vasodilator, right? And
it's definitely a vasodilator. But it's pushing out pushing out inflammation. It has a number of
it's causing inflammation.
Well, you think it is, but actually it's not.
Okay. All right, okay.
So, and it is, it's lowering histamine. You get a histamine degranulation from this. And so the more you take it, the less you're apt to have this flush.
We can all use histamine degranulation once in a while. Don't forget that. All right, here's Dr. Villa again talking about treating the injured.
Should teach everybody, all the doctors... remember, at the primary care level, the way they, like, let's say, for example, how do you screen cancer? They're only doing, like, colonoscopy or Cologuard. They're doing mammogram, and you go to a dermatologist to see if you have some lesion or what have you, and what else? Oh, do digital exam for the prostate or do the PSA. No, you have to go the next level of that, because we are looking at the genetic level of this. You can already see changes genetically, but the patient is still asymptomatic if they are asymptomatic. Like, you cannot detect, like, let's say, for example, the lungs. I always do low-dose CAT scan. Because the chest x-ray doesn't pick up the small lung nodule. So when I see that now, and then the patient is vaccinated, I go ballistic, because more often than not, that's already a cancer, as far as I'm concerned. Okay?
Yeah.
So, let's say, for example, is the PSA going to be enough? No. You have to do an MRI of the prostate. The size of the tumor now doesn't matter. Even though a turbo cancer is supposed to be big tumors and then metastasis, but I see small tumors and they're already metastasized. So that is the turbo cancer. And actually, in the real world, when you use what we call ICD-10, we have to code all the diagnosis. And that turbo cancer, for me to describe that, I have to put hyper progressive malignancy, which can come out from either somebody who's being treated for cancer and getting chemotherapy, and suddenly the cancer is like all over the place despite the chemotherapy. That is a turbo cancer in our world as clinician.
Yeah.
But how many people am I seeing with a very small, supposedly the primary, and yet it's already all over. It's already stage four.
So what she's saying again is, you're diagnosed with a small tumor, you may be stage four. Bigger does not necessarily apply anymore with turbo cancer. A small tumor presents, and all of a sudden it's everywhere. It's quite a freakish thing to contemplate.
It's challenging our concepts of cancer. And I think, once again, I mean, you're one of the doctors who's awake to the reality that there's a new underlying cause of the massive rise in disease, death, and aging in society. A lot are flying just, you know, with their blinders on. But, you know, I can recall, you know, folks that have been following may remember back in...
This is Dr. Mark Trotsey talking. I don't think I introduced him earlier.
Yeah, Mark Trotsey is one of our Trotsey. Canadian physicians, yeah. Who, you know, has been harassed and, I believe, not able to practice right now in Canada for his position on
Canada's
issue.
You want to see a dying country. There it is. All right, here, let's get back.
21. I just was in a meeting with a bunch of scientists and doctors. One was a surgeon. We were all talking about cancer. Cancer's off the roof. And I made a video. It was actually highly viewed, even though it was just, I just basically turned on my camera at the end of this meeting. I said, folks, I've got to tell you, we have a major cancer problem. And something I recall, one of the surgeons that was in our meetings at the World Council for Health from Africa, and he said, I have operated on many cancers in the abdomen. And I have resected many pancreatic tumors, and I have resected many duodenal tumors, but now I am resecting things that are both, and their morphology is like a hybrid. We have messed around with the genetics and the cellular physiology of the body at a profound level, and we're seeing things that resemble old diseases, but they're different. They're more aggressive. They have a new underlying cause, and it's so refreshing to know that there's a doctor like you, Dr. Villa, out there, and that there's a place in the world where maybe still it's screwed up. A doctor shouldn't be having any trouble doing things, but where you're actually able to do tests, you're actually able to address these things. Again, in Canada.
Okay, we're going to pause it there. Most important thing to understand is that this is just, it's off the scale. What's happening now? Cancers are apparently being spread through shedding. Don't laugh. Don't dismiss it. That's a fact. If you're shedding not only spike but mRNA, and this is factually and scientifically proven now. That's what shedding is. It's spike and mRNA, the actual instructions that go in and mess up your genetics, causing every cell that the mRNA goes into, courtesy of the liquid nanoparticle covering of it, it goes in there and turns that cell into a spike factory, okay? And your immune system, what's left of it, ideally would go after that cell and take it out. But it's not able to do it like it used to because it's been terribly compromised. Okay, quick comment on this one.
I would add, too, that the DNA, plasmid DNA contaminants, are also being shed. Which, if that's picked up by your bacteria, you know, these are bacterial plasmids, but they have, you know, in the case of Pfizer, a mammalian promoter being the SV40. That means it can replicate inside of a human cell. So if your bacteria pick up this DNA contaminant in these exosomes that people are shedding, and it's acquired by your bacteria, whether it's in the nose, throat, stomach, not stomach, intestines, they can then transfer that DNA into your cells, and you can become a spike protein factory, too.
Yeah, okay. All right, here's another clip, the last clip with Dr. Maravich Villa. She's going to talk about one shot, two shots, seven shots. What's the difference? She says it does not matter if you took one or seven. The outcome is exactly the same. All right, here we go.
an intelligent doctor. So dive deeper into the science. What's going on in your patients' bodies? What percentage of the population there? You said your population there is older people. They're retired. They have multiple medical problems. They're high risk for everything. And now, what percentage of the population there, no fault of yours, has been injected with this? I think we can only call it a genetic biological weapon at this point because it does no good. What percentage of people have been injected, and what are you seeing?
And 94% of the population, that is, we're talking about, Mark, we're talking about one dose. I don't even call it booster. I just ask the patient, how many doses did you get? And if they lie to me, I click my connection to the vaccine registry, and I know exactly how many doses they've gotten. It's not booster, just doses, okay?
Right.
So,
that was a marketing misdirection trick, calling
sure
these things
was.
Boosters. All right? She's 100% correct.
94% rate of vaccination is receiving
That's
one
fair.
Up to however. How many now?
Now, she's got her top end is 94% of the general public has gotten at least one injection. That's frightful. That means only 6% in her worldview would have to be shed upon to be taken out, and 94% rather, are already on the way out, whether it's one dose or seven or eight.
We're on the seventh one, and believe it or not, I have people getting all of them, you know, just a few of them. And again, I'm going to tell the people who are listening right now that if there is something that you guys should remember with this discussion, this vaccine is actually destroying your immune system. It doesn't matter. There are so many people, like more famous people, and then they're also clinicians. They're so focused on the myocarditis, pericarditis, and encephalitis, and so many other stuff. But what does it do? Mark, these are my findings, and this is constant. You know, whoever you test, as long as they're vaccinated, and it doesn't matter whether it's one dose, two doses, or nine doses, seven doses, the effect is going to be the same. What's the difference? The difference is it will take time for the smaller dose. Okay, like if you, get only one dose, probably it will take 3 years, 4 years, because I'm seeing that now. You have to remember, I followed these people since 2021. And so what are the findings? These are consistent. Immune disorder, and there are two types of immune disorder that you see, immune deficiency and autoimmune. Okay? Immune, what kind of immune deficiency? The only thing that you have to remember, because this is the most important, is what we call CD4 and CD8 count. For people to understand why this is very important, if you look at the CD4, that is the immune cell that when you contract an HIV, you're going to develop AIDS if that goes down. No? The CD8, the name CD4 and CD8 has just a lot to do with how we label these immune cells. They are the soldiers of your immune system, no? They're soldiers. They're there to protect you. They're there to kill the enemies that are supposed to be harming you. And so the CD8 is another one, and they complement one another. You know, the CD8 and CD4...
All right. She goes on to explain more in detail about how the immune system is destroyed. And again, it's a question of slow motion, regular motion, or hyper motion. Time. One shot, 3 or 4 years before you begin to see real damage. Six shots, how about a month, maybe? We don't know. In other words, it's a question of accelerating the timetable. It's not good. Okay.
Well, and that's, you know, you can compare it to HIV where, you know, the initial infection looks just like a flu. People get over it and they think they're fine, and they may be fine for 5, even 10 years.
Right.
But the virus, you know, is slowly eating away at the immune system. So that by the time they really notice, you know, something's wrong, I mean, that's when their CD4 count is, I think she said, what, below 200? And that's when you're really critical. I think 500 and you're really starting to, you know, be susceptible to a long list of opportunistic diseases. And so these people are already there, you know, within a few years. And, you know, when they said this was airborne AIDS, I don't think they were kidding.
No. No, they weren't. And what's that story I just I sent you the other day about VAIDS? I just sent that.
Well,
didn't I send it?
It
basically said that everyone who's been injected has VAIDS. Will develop VAIDS, vaccine-induced AIDS. That's where they're going.
Well, that's, you know, we've heard that now for a couple of years, and we are seeing it. There's no question.
Right.
No, and like I said, you know, the number of people that are desperately needing this IVIG right now, the demand far exceeds the supply.
And when you said earlier, it's a mixture. They're
yeah, it's pooled
good.
from at least 1,000 donors. You know, they extract the globulins, the immune globulins from other people's plasma, and then pool them and then make them into an injection for these people or an infusion. Now, interestingly, I've noticed in the anti-aging community that they are promoting something called therapeutic plasma exchange as a way to, well, turn back the clock, so to speak, where you pay to have your blood filtered, and they will separate out the red blood cells from the plasma, which contains the proteins. And by doing this, yeah, you remove a lot of garbage, particularly when you're older. You know, old blood contains lots of just extraneous, useless, inflammatory material. But also in there will be plenty of immune globulins. And I suspect that trying to market this as something beneficial and therapeutic to people is another way of getting a source of this immune globulin that these other vax-injured people so desperately need. And there's no guarantee that any of this is going to be free of disease.
No, and
you know, they're just
when you go about injecting yourself
it, really,
with
if you think
pooled,
about it.
Pooled anything from the masses, you're asking for, you're already in trouble, but you're asking for more trouble. No.
And here's the thing, when you do the so-called therapeutic plasma exchange to remove your plasma, and they have to put back your red blood cells, they have to put it back with albumin, which is a protein that helps maintain the osmotic pressure in of the blood so that it will be fluid and flow. Well, where does that human albumin come from? Now, you can get a reaction when that infusion, when that blood is returned with that albumin, and depending on the quality of that albumin may determine whether or not you have an immune system reaction to it. I mean, I'm just wondering, where is the superior human albumin coming from?
Well, what's your best guess?
I don't think I want to know. You know, is it you know, children?
Yeah,
that would be the ideal, right?
We don't know. Are they mining children for this?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That comes to mind.
Pretty hideous. Pretty hideous.
Yeah. I mean, it's ghoulish.
I don't put anything
the whole thing
past
is ghoulish.
This satanic species, which didn't used to be as nearly as bad as it is. There's always been evil around. It's just the age-old fight between good and evil, but evil is seemingly quite well in charge now. All right, here's, we only have about 4 or 5 minutes. We'll get to Christina Parks next time. Dr. Mary Tally Bowden, B-O-W-D-E-N. Okay, now she's going to make a statement here that will go hand in hand with Dr. Maravich Villa's statement, basically. Set this up. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a clip from a recent interview with this Danny Jones podcast, And he interviewed Dr. Jack Cruz, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, and this new on the scenes, Callie Means, who's a very prominent figure in this MAHA movement. He and his sister, I think her name is Casey, and they're food gurus.
MAHA is Make America Healthy Again. They're taking a whole new approach in terms of marketing, how to make people healthy again. And it sounds an awful lot like they're almost pushing there on the no virus BS, almost.
Well, they're diverting attention away from, you know, this slaughter that's been taking place for the last 4 years, and they don't want people asking questions about...
It's a misdirection psyop.
Yeah, huge. And I tell you, a lot of vax-injured people right now, they had so much hope when RFK and Trump were selected. But they're seeing now that... RFK is going to have a title, but really no power.
Oh, they're going to put him on a short leash.
Yep.
He's not going to be able to do anything much. Here, first of all, and I know some of you are thinking this, how can RFK even sit down at the same table with the father of Warp Speed? Think about it. Trump loves the vaccine.
He's not reneging
this beautiful,
on
wonderful
anything
vaccine. No, they don't agree on anything. So it was obviously...
Go ahead. No one is talking about stopping the shots. And in fact, this is a good interview.
Never.
It's very, very long. If you have the time to listen to it, it'll probably be pulled from YouTube at some point, but it's already on other platforms. It's worth listening to. I mean, Jack Cruz really, you know, puts the screws to this guy, Callie Means, and, you know, exposes him for the... I don't know what operative that he is.
What Jack Cruz said was, I think it was Jack Cruz, maybe it was Dr. Mary Talley Bowden. Why, in your book, Callie Means, is there not one single mention of vaccine? Not once.
Yeah, he just tap-danced around it.
No, he acts like he's... he's mind controlled, and he's almost like
programmed.
That's a reasonable statement. All right, here's Dr. Mary right now.
You have a big microphone right now. You are all over the news. You're bipartisan.
She's talking about Callie Means and his sister and their new book, MAHA. I don't know if that's the title, but that's the message.
You're all over the news right now. You have the ear of Trump and Kennedy, and we need to convince you that no child should be given the option of getting this modified synthetic mRNA shot that has dire consequences if it goes wrong. And it doesn't go wrong in everybody. We know that. But there are varying degrees, varying numbers, 4%, 15%, 1 in 500, 1 in 800, serious adverse reaction. You should see the patients in my office that come to see me with these injuries. That It is life-changing, and there's nothing we can do for these people. It's very hard. They don't get better.
And what kind of people are they? What age group?
I have young people. I have older people. A lot of it's...
I'm sorry. That was kind of a dumb question. I don't know who this guy is, where he came from. He kind of popped up out of nowhere. That sound familiar?
Which is very difficult to fix. I don't see the myocarditis, the stroke, that sort of thing, because I'm outpatient. But I see these people with a really chronic, debilitating health problems. Mm-hmm. I looked at my new patient appointments, and the 2 years following the rollout of COVID shots, 7% of my new patients were coming to see me for injuries directly related to these shots. They typically get the $1 million workup. They see a bunch of other doctors. They're never reported a VAERS. None of the patients that came to see me were reported to VAERS, even though the onset of their symptoms
was horrible.
In close proximity. And that's the other thing. VAERS, 1%, 1%. It's only a reflection of 1%. And
I would ask, do we really trust VAERS? I don't trust much of anything anymore.
Lost my train of thought.
The
injuries. Yeah, so neurological. I see POTS, which is where the blood pressure just fluctuates up and down erratically with no triggers, and that's very difficult to treat.
POTS is
very
postural
young
orthostatic hypertension.
Yeah.
It's caused by mitochondrial damage to cytochrome 1 in the mitochondria.
Yeah, so and these people, there's just not a lot we can do for them, right? And there's I would say a lot of people slowly get better, but I have one patient with severe vertigo, just won't go away. Yep.
Okay, you get the idea. These people are not getting better; they're not recovering. And she did mention that some of the people who get injected apparently don't have any problems. Well, we're only just 4 years into this, and we know that time is a key component in this whole takedown. So tune in another year, another 2 years. Some people may have gotten bum lots, bad batches. I don't know.
Well,
we can
you
only
also
hope.
Cannot see on the exterior a failing
can't.
Immune system.
No, you
These
cannot.
These are subtle changes that are happening.
Right, right. And then you have the issue of copper, and you have the issue of iron, and other things that can, there's so many things that can augment and enhance the dangerous nature of this terrible weapon that's been turned loose with utter intent on humankind.
Yeah, and the prion aspect.
Oh, prion,
yeah, that's
the prion
another silent
aspect.
Accumulating killer.
And prions were rare in the past. You didn't hear about them. Like ALS, you just didn't hear about it. And now, diagnosis to death with prions can be a month. Can be less?
Yeah, 2 weeks in some cases.
Let's think of mad cow, all right? Prions, created by the spike protein in your body. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We're running a little late, as we always do. There's so much out there. What we're trying to do is make this critically important information accessible to you. We're not all scientists. I'm not a scientist, but we want to make this so you can understand it and make your decisions based on what you have available by way of honest material. And I hope this material tonight, we hope it's been helpful, and we hope it does help you make better decisions. For those of you out there whose families have turned on you with your vax injuries, bless all of you. We hope that your holiday season has been reasonable. We understand, and it's really not a good commentary on this species of ours to turn away from someone in need, especially a relative. All right, final comment.
No, you said it all.
Well, all right, we got to run. Great job, as always. Take care. Talk soon. Have fun.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Be right back. Hold on.